All right. I'm very happy to welcome you to this EBA seminar. EBA is the expert group of aid analysis in Sweden, and it does undertake studies on aid issues to make development cooperation better. I'm on the committee of EBA, the EBA committee, and my name is Arne Bigsten. I'm going to be the moderator of this seminar. We're going to today look at a bunch of very interesting and stimulating papers relating to the results agenda. This is the kind of things that EBA does like to investigate. Typically, we do support research. We initiate research on overarching issues in development cooperation. We don't do project analysis as such, but we do all kinds of other things that are useful for the improvement of Swedish foreign aid. And one of the types of reports we do is something called development briefs. That is summing up relevant PhD theses which are written in Sweden. And today we'll have one of these development briefs or these theses presented here by Jeanette Veijamäki, sorry. But we have two papers. We'll have a parallel paper or a similar paper from the UK experience as well. So the idea is that we look at the research results agenda, how it's affected the management and the implementation of aid, and discuss and compare the Swedish and the UK experiences, and to see what we can learn from the history of this episode or this period of very much focus on the results agenda and how that has shaped development bureaucracies and what effects it has had on the way it is done. So, by the way, there is also a big seminar at CEDA tomorrow called Reclaiming Reclaim the Results, where CEDA is going to take stock of where it is and where it's going with regard to these issues. So this is a precursor or a warm-up for this seminar tomorrow, I guess. But I think these themes are very important. They are very key to what's happening in the development debate right now. So I think there's going to be two interesting hours. So Jeanette Veijamäki, she's at SCORE, Stockholm Center for Organizational Research, and she wrote the thesis then on the politics of the results agenda, and she's going to be starting the presentation on this. Then we'll have a presentation of the British experience, the DFID experience, the politics and management of aid and development in Britain by DFID. And we'll have Brendan Whitty as one of the presenters, who is an external associate at the University of East Anglia. And we'll have Craig Walters, who is a research fellow at ODI in London, who are going to present their study of the way this was introduced and was handled in the UK. So we'll have these two papers. They'll get a presentation of like 15 minutes each, these two experiences. And then we'll have a set of comments from two persons. We'll have Rebecca Kitzing Ivarsson, who is a senior advisor at CEDA, and she's in charge of the seminar tomorrow, I guess. That's going to be at CEDA. And we'll have Lennart Bäck, who is a research results-based management specialist at the Ministry of Foreign Affairs. And they'll get to comment with about 7 minutes each. So we'll have 15, 15, 7, 7, and then we'll bring all the people up, and they can comment briefly on each other, and then we'll open up to the floor for comments and discussions. And we hope to finish this off by 3:00 or so. So I'm looking forward to this seminar. I think it should be quite exciting, and we'll see whether we can agree on where we end up. But this is a hot topic, and I'm sure we'll have a lively discussion. So first then, could I invite Jeanette to come up and start her 15 minutes or thereabouts, please?
Thank you, Dan. Okay, great. Thank you. I'm going to, as Arne said, present part of the EBA dissertation brief. It's a part of my thesis, which was finalized a year ago at Stockholm Business School. And Yeah, the title of my thesis is Matrixing Aid, the Rise and Fall of Results Initiatives in Swedish Development Aid. You can see the front page here. My thesis is surrounding, it's a story of these four results initiatives within SIDA. These four results initiatives, which were launched in 1971, 81, 1998, and 2012, were quite early on in my PhD studies. I identified that they were fairly similar initiatives launched at SIDA during these years of Swedish aid history. And all of them have had the objective to systematize and collate results from SIDA's aid projects and then try to use that results information for learning or for communication purposes and decision-making purposes, both internally and externally in Swedish aid. So what I found very interesting when I identified this was that how come they came with the time intervals of 10 years and how come that all of them had been running for a while, from 3 to 10 years, and then they had kind of downsized or they had thrown away these initiatives. So what was it in them that was actually beneficial and used, and why did they actually fail in the end, or was it actually a failure in the way? I was myself working within SIDA from 1998 until 2011, and so I was part and really saw this SIDA rating initiative as part of my work duties. I was one of the program officers filling in the result requirements and information with that, and I found out, well, that really the downsides of it and the organizational difficulties in actually measuring results in the way that was requested within the initiative. So a question within my thesis is, or a focus in my thesis is very much on tides of reform, or why does it seem to that different type of ideas come to organizations in different time intervals, and why do they then wither away after a while, and where do we then stand today, and also is there a possibility to actually make these tides of reform a little bit flatten out it so that we don't go so big and have so big turns in them, since these types of initiatives are often, of course, very costly. And if you don't actually use the type of results information within them, can we do something better in order to flatten out the tides? Yeah, so you see my purpose, to increase our understanding of tides or reforms. That's the purpose of my thesis. And what is it that drives the rise as well as the fall of management reforms? So if we just shortly look at like earlier literature on tides of reform, it's very much explanations, typical explanations are that results are needed in democracies, that political systems are, political parties from previous governments need to demonstrate or prove results in order to win the forthcoming elections. So, of course, they need to show results. And bureaucracies then adopt results models in order to collate these types of results. But reform interest is then always in the future rather than in the past, that history and that these types of initiatives might have failed earlier. It's not interesting for politics. It's always in the future, so it's always more tempting to promise and hope for solutions to come later on. So there are, Brunson is a scholar, for example, who says that mechanisms hope and forgetfulness ensures that similar initiatives can be launched despite that they have failed in the past. We forget about these failures and then hope for better solutions to come in the future. There's also literature within management fashion theories that says that these types of reforms are launched by a fashion setting community, which could be consultants and other actors who disseminate models, for example, results management models, and market mechanism functions in the way that they come and go in fashions, and then we buy another fashion and we are doing something else after a while. I wanted to look at these types of reforms from these two existing rationalities in aid. And since many of the explanations on tides of reforms are very much on the effectiveness side of tides of reforms, that it's that we always seek to show off results and effectiveness, but not so much explanations have been given to the solidarity rationale, which is more that aid and the main motif of aid has ever since 1960s in aid bills been solidarity rationale, which is more based on altruism, and that aid is given for doing something good for someone else, and it has a value on its own. Of course, these two rationales, the ideal would be that there is a balance between them and that we can show that aid has been effective and aid money has been used in an effective way, and that leads us back to solidarity, and we want to continue giving. But I wanted to look at the tides of reforms, that how do these two rationales in aid actually do they push or pull or pressure the tides of reforms in aid? So my findings are basically in this picture, some of the findings. It's that I claim there being five phases, which I see and find that they are very, very similar phases of this during these four initiatives and of these tides of reforms. There is a pressure phase, and I found when I have looked through different type of media documents, government documents, international documents, what type of pressure there has been for CEDA to initiate these initiatives, that this typically spiral effect or an echo of criticism during this pressure phase, there is a criticism that CEDA doesn't deliver result, but it's also a criticism of CEDA as such, that CEDA staff is not sufficiently results-oriented and doing aid business well enough. So these types of the criticism is typically echoed if the National Audit Office report, for example, criticizes it and media does it. So very many actors that simultaneously bring about a criticism. So there's a critical phase of pressure, which then comes to the second phase, the launch phase, when CEDA launches these initiatives. And I have found that it's quite immediately the launch, actually, the criticism ceases after that CEDA launches its initiatives. There is a happy phase that both politicians, media, within internally CEDA are there is a momentary solution, kind of. There's an answer of the criticism that, yes, we will be producing results. We will be producing. We do have this system now. We have this initiative, and we will soon be able to show off results. So it's quite obvious that the launch increases legitimacy for the organization. Then comes the implementation phase, and that's quite a problematic phase. That's when staff are actually going to fill in the different type of results reporting requirements. And questions such as, what is actually a result? Very simple question, what is a result, or how do you measure it? And very much a question of, like, who is going to use it and to what purposes, actually? What are the consequences if this results information is disseminated? Who is actually going to use it and to what purposes comes up? So typically the compliance of these results initiatives is very low, at least initially. Some of the initiatives, it's even like below 1% of CEDA staff members who actually fulfill the regulations of filling in the information initially. And which then makes that results information is very difficult to use because you don't have so much information and you can't actually take decisions based on the very little information that exists. So then comes this fourth phase, which I've called the redo or die. The initiatives, quite often then, they go, one of the initiatives, for example, seven times, it goes like it's redone or relaunched, and typically it's relaunched in the way that the reporting categories are changed into something else. It's, for example, output reporting first, but then it's outcome reporting or a rating system is introduced. And so then a new type of reporting style or a new is tested out and then tried out again. So then comes after the initiatives have died, there is a fifth phase, which I've called the openness for something new. And then there is typically, it's kind of like in the valley of the tides, and it's an opposite the initiatives are launched, like focus on learning, focus on complexity, focus on doing development differently, or something which is kind of something different to quantitative measurements, which then goes on for a while, and then comes this more quantitative peak again. So that's... those are the five phases I have identified in my thesis. So the question then, what drives the tides of reforms? I have three answers to that. First is that there is a tension between this solidarity rationale and the effectiveness rationale. That the tides typically rise when the effectiveness rationale is very... there's a lot of discussions on that, and there's a criticism about CEDA not being too effective and demonstrating results. However, implementation phase and why these initiatives don't survive then is that... it's often staff are very concerned about that this is actually not doing any good for the aid recipients. So the solidarity aspects of it, that aid recipients, it's this type of reporting is not good for them, simply. So that drives the waves back again. The second is that, there is hope, but as said by the earlier scholars, that specifically during the launch phase, that there is hope that these initiatives will be a solution to the results reporting pressure, but there's also fear and other emotions that do drive these initiatives. There's a fear of illegitimacy or the consequences that, okay, if we don't actually report and do this, then the consequences, what is that? That we won't maybe survive as an agency? So, yeah. And there's also fear of kind of how the results information is going to be used. But also what drives is then the benefits that the results information, or the initiatives have definitely provided the organization with legitimacy. So when do the initiatives die out? Just say that when all possible ways to report on results has been tried out, when there's been different type of categories have been tried out, when it's obvious that results information is not used, that it's actually the information is not used within the organization, and when it becomes obvious for external audiences that this doesn't any longer contribute to legitimacy, for example, when a National Audit Office report criticizes the initiatives as such, then they die out. So then what has not worked in the initiatives is that three answers here as well, that initiatives have had too many or very many purposes and too many or very many users, typically. They have been serving both learning, communication, internal decision-making purposes, and it's perhaps not the same type of information that can be used for all purposes and all by all users. It has been too complex for aid recipients to report on standard indicators. It's been difficult to find out like one type of indicator which can be used by all recipients and in for example an education setting, one education indicators, because Bolivia and Tanzania has different indicators for that, could be too limited for aid recipients to use one format or one standardized matrix for follow-up. Typically recipients use different type of matrices for follow-up, and then setting one standard one from CEDA has been difficult for aid recipients. So what can then be done differently? Four points on that. It's really at the planning stage of these types of initiatives to map information needs of different users. What do they actually need for their decision making or for their purposes they're going to use the information for? Clarify the purpose with why we're actually measuring these results. Is it for learning, or is it for taking decisions, or is it for communication, for example? Identify and communicate what information is actually possible to produce. Not all type of results information is possible to produce, so communicate that to Minister of Foreign Affairs, government, whoever is requiring that information. And then the fourth, to measure also the effectiveness, including the costs of the results initiatives. I found it quite interesting that it's actually in none of these initiatives, the cost of how much the initiatives as such can cost has been discussed. So really results-based management on results-based management, or matrixing the matrix or whatever. So where do we stand today? This is my last slide.
15 seconds.
Yes. So if this was the picture, where are we, is the arrow going, what direction is it going? I hope we can discuss it further, but I have, I don't know exactly. I think I have three different answers. It could be going this direction, that we continue on this peak, and one argument for that is that it's very much the latest drive for results was very strong from the government, and many of the requirements have really been institutionalized, which was not done earlier on in history. These initiatives were thrown away, but this last one has not been thrown away. A lot of the requirements still are still there. That's one answer for maybe it's going that direction, or it could be going down into the valley. And it's that one argument for that is really that the rhetoric has really, the word results is really not so popular any longer. It has somehow a negative connotation. It has been taken away from, for example, the strategy guidelines, and there's no attempts any longer to doing standard indicators, and all quantitative measurements are not in focus too much any longer. Also, within the broader government, there is a focus on trust-based management, and other type of more trust is more a word that is being discussed in a larger extent. Or it could be so that we are on a very good track at the moment, and one of my findings is really that there is much more knowledge today. I think just looking here that we are learning from history, we are discussing these topics, and the seminar tomorrow as well, it's very much like very broad topics and bringing up very many important the topics on what have we actually learned and where are we going from now. So we are really taking a step here, and then where do we go further. So it could be so that we are we don't see these very high tides of reforms in the future.
Thank you very much. I think we'll leave it at that.